Hello and welcome to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Monger. He's the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. At Light the Way, we believe the most powerful tool we possess when sharing our faith with others is the Word of God. It was the Apostle Paul that said, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ." So as we open the Word together, it's our prayer that you'll not only receive what God has for you, but share what you learn with those you come in contact with. And now, here's Pastor Colin.
If you brought your Bible, would you open it to the book of Daniel, chapter 2? I heard a story of a cop one time. It's a true story, but he pulled over a man for speeding. And he walks up to the window and he knocks on it. "Sir, can you roll down the window?" And so the man rolls down the window. And he says, "Do you know why I've pulled you over?" And the man says, "I have no idea why you've pulled me over." And he said, "You were speeding." And then he asked for his license, registration, and proof of insurance. Now, I remember being a police officer, that's a very standard request. And most drivers comply very easily. Except this guy did something a little different. With a complete straight face, without any hesitation, he reached into the glove compartment and he pulled out four documents: his driver's license, his registration, his proof of insurance, and a Monopoly get out of jail free card. And he handed all of that to the cop. Well, as you can imagine, that doesn't happen every day on the street. And so the officer chuckled. He went back to his car. He checked everything on the computer. Turns out the guy was fine and he got a warning and was let go. But you can't help admire the confidence that man must have had. I was reading about confidence the other day in Psychology Today. As it turns out, when a person finds themselves in a position they've never been in and they expect to fail, they almost always do. And yet that same person in that same situation with the same experience and the confidence that they will succeed, statistically speaking, more often than not, they will. It would seem that confidence helps people. In whatever situation you may be in, it makes a difference. And so I have a question for you today. Do you have confidence in your faith? Do you have confidence in the promises and in the Word of God? Do you have confidence in God's ability to provide and heal and comfort and do everything the Bible says He can do? When Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, God will supply every need of yours, do you believe that? Do you have confidence that is true? You see, we live in a very skeptical world, don't we? And you don't have to look very far to see everybody wants proof, everybody wants evidence. Turn on the news and watch anybody make any definitive statement, and what happens first? Out come the phones with the fact checkers. And not only that, but we also live in a time when even the very notion of truth seems to be debated. Facts become relative to the person speaking. And the result is confidence in the nation is currently at an all-time low. And so I challenge you to be different than that. I challenge you to break that mold, to stand out and to share the truth of God, even in a world that doesn't believe. And that's what we see Daniel doing this morning. Notice how it begins in verse 24. "Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, 'Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation.'" You know, when we first started this morning, I asked how confident you were in the promises and the Word of God, because notice how confident Daniel is. Notice there's no question in this. It's just simply, "Bring me before the king. I will show the king the interpretation." At the end of the chapter, in verse 45, Daniel even has the audacity to tell King Nebuchadnezzar, "The dream is certain and the interpretation is sure." There's no hesitation in his voice. He's not sitting there going, "Well, you know, your highness, in my humble opinion, this is what I think. You might not agree, and that's okay, but this is what I see. I don't know what this is, but I'm going to give it the old college try." That's not what he says at all. He says, "I will show the king the interpretation." He speaks with confidence. You know, I read that and I think of what the early church did in Acts chapter 4, where it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it says, and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And that's what we see Daniel doing here. He's speaking the message of God with boldness, with confidence, without hesitation. You know, I always laugh when I hear somebody quote some moral or philosophical idea from people in the entertainment industry. I always laugh to myself, and not because their opinion doesn't matter. I think everybody has a right to their opinion, but because it's like people forget that their job in life is to convince you that fiction is real. And that's who we go to for moral truth. And you know exactly what I mean. It's on the cover of the magazine. Well, the recent star from the recent hit movie, see what they say about this. See what this musician says about this. See what this person, this fashion designer says about this. When you share God's unchanging truth in confidence, when you do that confidently, you will create controversy. In other words, you will be at odds with the pop culture and the entertainers and the fashion designers and the musicians and most of the wisdom of the world. And you will be in good company, because Noah dealt with the same thing. God goes to Noah and he says, I want you to build an ark. I'm going to judge the whole world, Noah. And it takes him 100 years, the Bible says. What does he do for 100 years? Well, 2 Peter chapter 2 tells us he preached righteousness. He took the message of God to the world. And yet no one listened. No one cared. No one believed, because it was unpopular. It challenged their understanding. Samuel, he dealt with the same thing. Moses, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, Elijah, all rejected because the message of God was at odds with the culture. Not only that, in the New Testament, the same thing happened. The message of Paul against the Pharisees was at odds with the culture. The message of Jesus was at odds with the culture. You remember Stephen in the book of Acts and how he was the first martyr of the church to be killed for his faith. And as he was preaching, it tells us in Acts 7, when they heard the things he was saying, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. It goes on to tell us they formed a mob. And in the mob violence, they picked up stones and they killed him. He was at odds with the culture. And when you dare to be different by speaking the truth in the world, you will be at odds with the culture. You will step on toes and people won't want to hear. And yet it is our job to speak confidently even in that. And as controversial as that message can be, it is also universally applicable. In other words, it belongs to everyone. Notice what Daniel says. He says, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. But he says, bring me in before the king and I will show the interpretation. Not take me to one of the assistants. He doesn't say take me to the receptionist. He doesn't say take me to his first lieutenant. He says, take me to the top. I'm going to evangelize the king of Babylon. You know, I know a pastor who has as one of his ministries an outreach to CEOs in the community, because he says that they very often get overlooked because it's intimidating to share with somebody you consider to be in a position higher than yours. How hard is that? Think about your own life. How hard is it to evangelize a parent that doesn't believe, or a teacher, or a boss, or a friend you've had for years? It can be a very intimidating thing to share with people who are ahead of us in life. I remember when I first started preaching, I filled the pulpit at this tiny little Mennonite church in Springfield, Ohio. They didn't have a pastor, and so I would go once or twice a week, and it gave me an opportunity to preach and get experience, and they got the pulpit filled, and I did this for probably 2 or 3 months. But I had been there for maybe 6 or 7 visits, and one of the elders of the church came up to me, and he said, now, I don't want to freak you out, but you know the guy that sits right there in the front? And I said, yeah. He said, don't worry about it, but he's the professor of New Testament at the Bible college in town. I'll tell you what, I felt about this big. I could have crawled under a dime thinking, here I am preaching to the guy who teaches it. It's intimidating to do that. And yet we're called, even in that condition, to speak confidently. The second thing we notice about our passage is we're called to speak God's truth prophetically. We're prophets of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, before the Bible was written, when a person shared the message of God, you've got to understand that it came from divine revelation. It came from a dream. It came from a visit. It came from a thundering, booming voice. Notice in verse 19, it says, this mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. That's usually how it happened. But now we have all of God's revelation to mankind right here. And it goes all the way from the beginning of time where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You can't go back any farther than that. And it goes through the creation of the earth, the creation of mankind, the fall of mankind, the curse of the earth, the election of the nation of Israel, the patriarchs as you move through that history, the redemption of man with Jesus, the church age. Eventually will come the tribulation period, the millennial kingdom, and then eternity future where we reign forever. It's all there in black and white. Everyone can read it. We call it the complete revelation of God. What that means is when you share this message with people, when you speak on behalf of God from His word, as you're called to do, you become a prophet. You are literally a messenger of God's word. Daniel understands that. He knows this isn't his doing. He knows this message comes from the Lord, and so notice what he says in verse 25. Then Arioch brought Daniel before the king in haste and said thus to him, I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered the king and said, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed, come thoughts of what would be after this. And he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. Notice how through this conversation, Daniel wants to make sure this king knows that this revelation comes from the Lord. It's God's message. It's God's word. Daniel is speaking prophetically. He's speaking on behalf of the Lord. And that's true of all the prophets of all the Bible, by the way. They were all speaking on behalf of God. And they all wanted people to know that. You remember when God called Moses and Moses went to Pharaoh and Moses argued with God before he went to Pharaoh and he said, I don't want to go. I'm not the right person. Who am I that I should go? Please, Lord, send anybody else. And finally he goes and he finds himself in the court of Pharaoh. And the very first words out of his mouth in Exodus 5 are, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go. That was not Moses' message. That was God's. Samuel did the same thing. He was talking to the people in 1 Samuel 10, and he said to the people of Israel, thus says the Lord. Even in the book of Judges, it says, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel, and he said to them, thus says the Lord. You see, it's always about communicating God's message. That phrase, by the way, thus says the Lord, appears in your Bible more than 400 times. Because it's God's message. Thus says the Lord. That's why a couple of years ago, we made the investment here to buy Bibles for the entire church. Because we want people looking into their Bible, not up to a screen. We want people seeing that this message comes straight out of the Word of God. You see, it's not my job as a pastor to tell you what I think. I'm not that clever. It's not my calling to be clever. I don't have secrets to life. I can't give you magical fixes to life's hardships. I'm not that smart. You could write volumes on the stuff I don't know. It's not my job to share my opinion, and that's okay because, you know, my experience says you don't care about my opinion. That's not my job. My job and your job are very similar. To share what God has said. The minute we put our opinions in there, we've failed. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for that very thing. You remember in Matthew 15 where he said, in vain they worship me. He said, it doesn't count. It's empty. It's fake. It's false. Because they're teaching as doctrine, as the word of God, commandments of men. They're taking their word and holding it to the same level and authority as Scripture. And he rebukes the whole group of it. That's not our job to tell people what we think. It's our job to tell people what God has said in the way he intended it to be shared with the meaning he had in mind when he wrote it. It's not ours to change or edit or adjust or justify. It's ours to share. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, the word of the Lord remains forever. You know, that's a very different attitude than the world today, by the way. The world today would say that's not politically correct. You can't tell people there's absolute truth because truth should change. Truth should be relative to the person giving it. And I hear people say it all the time on TV. They'll say the most important thing you can do is to speak your own truth. I don't even know what that means, but I will tell you what it does. That creates problems in life. Back when I worked in the window and door industry, my job was to coordinate the installation projects. And so when your salesman came out to your house and he measured for a new window for you and gave you a price, I would come in after him because we would have to adjust that measurement sometimes to the eighth of an inch to make sure that it fit your house perfectly. And so as you can imagine, the most common tool I used was my trusty tape measure. Well, I remember when I first started that after the first few jobs had been done and measured and ordered and they came in and the installers had it at the house, they'd had everything torn out. They go to put the new stuff in and it doesn't fit. It was all wrong. And it wasn't that the numbers were wrong. The tape measure was wrong. What happened was when it was printed, the inches were very different. And we compared it to others. And sure enough, we found that over 4 feet, it gained 2 inches. Tens of thousands of dollars of product wasted because it spoke its own truth. That's what happens when we take truth into our own hands. It creates problems. It created problems for Israel because, believe it or not, they tried the exact same thing. They made truth relative and it ruined them every time. In the Old Testament, there are 6 or 7 times where Israel comes into what we call in theology a cycle of apostasy. Now, if you've been through our Bible college, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is a period of time in Israel's history where everything was going fine and then they fall into sin. And then in their sin, God judges them and he sends a nation like Babylon or the Chaldeans, or he sends the Philistines sometimes, and they invade, they conquer, they ruin life, and now the people are in bondage. And in that bondage, they cry out to the Lord, and God sends a judge like Samson or Gideon, and the judge rescues them, and they come back to a state of living righteously. And that goes for a little while until they kind of fall off again into sin and they're judged and they're there and then another judge comes and rescues them. 6 or 7 times this happens. And you know, every single time it does, the same phrase introduces the cycle. It says in Judges chapter 17, verse 6, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. They spoke their own truth and it ruined their own life. But that is the pressure of the world in which we live. The world that says you have to say things that are popular and don't offend ideas of other people. But it's not our message to change. It's not our Bible to edit. It's not up to us to make sure it's politically correct. So speak confidently. Speak prophetically because it's not our message. It's just ours to share. And finally, as we close, speak in humility. And notice Daniel does that in verse 30. It says, but as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me. Notice how Daniel wants to make sure the king knows that he didn't come up with this idea. This isn't his interpretation. It's not his bright answer. It's not his stroke of genius. Daniel doesn't have any more understanding than anyone else. And so he says, king, this isn't mine. This came from the Lord. It even says in verse 23, God, you have made known to us the king's matter. And so here he tells the king, this thing that's been revealed to me, I'm going to give it to you the way I got it because I'm not entirely sure even what it means. And he'll go on to explain the very same thing. I have a question. How often is it tempting to take credit for someone else's work? How tempting is it to take credit for something we didn't do? You know, there's been a number of studies out there that show this very thing. And what it's determined is 59% of high school students who were surveyed said within the past year they cheated on a test. A third of them said within the past year they had done it more than once. And a third of them also admitted that within the past year they had intentionally plagiarized the internet to get a better grade. It doesn't get any better in college because 34% of undergraduate students and a quarter of all master's level students also admitted to plagiarizing other people's work in order to impress the professor. So the question is, how tempting is it to pass off someone else's stuff as our own? What about in our faith? People do the same thing. They pretend that success in life is theirs. They get a good job or they do something successful, and they say, well, look what I've done. I did a lot of work in my life to get where I am, and look at where I am now. Or maybe the ministry goes well, or somebody comes to faith because of something they've shared, and they try and take credit for it. But you know, James says in chapter 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And Daniel knows that. He knows this is not his. He knows this is from God. And so in humility, he says in verse 30, as for me, the mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, he says, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your own mind. It brings up one final thought, and we'll close with this. When you speak the truth in humility, be willing to live with mystery. Be willing to live with the fact that you might not always understand the message. You might not always understand all the details. You know enough to share it, but you really don't know what it means. And that's okay, because it's not our message. We're just the delivery vehicle. We're just the mouthpiece. And Daniel has the same thing going on. You can almost sense that he has no idea what all this really means, because he says at the very end that this has been made known to the king that you could know the thoughts of your own mind. I have no idea what's going on in your mind. I don't know how this is going to affect your life, but this is what God wants me to say. And the same will happen with you in your faith when you share with people. You won't always understand what it is. And that's okay, because God does. You know, we're going into our fourth year here at Shepherd of the Hills, and it really has been a very pleasant experience. I'm not afraid to say that the third year of any pastor's ministry in a church is statistically the hardest. And it is for a number of reasons. The newness has worn off. It's much like in a marriage where at first it's kind of cute that, you know, she puts the toilet paper on the wrong way, and oh, I don't mind changing that. Honey, that's just a cute little quirk. By the second year, it's, I can't believe she did it again. By the third year, it's like, you know what? Whatever. Just let her do whatever she wants. It's her toilet paper. And that's often how it goes in a church pastor kind of relationship. At the very beginning, everything is new. And everybody loves everything and everybody's happy. And then that newness kind of wears off. And by the third year, you're just kind of left with each other. And so statistically, most pastors leave their ministry in the second and third year. Well, I don't mind telling you that last year was difficult. It was difficult for a number of reasons. We had some staffing changes that went on and just the general life of how things go. And we prayed, Lord, is this where you want us? Because I don't know. And I will tell you, and it gives me goosebumps to think about it, because it is as true as I'm saying. After service that very week, one of our members, who's been here this weekend, stopped me in the foyer. And he told me, I don't know what this means. I don't know why I'm supposed to tell you this, but I feel that God is telling me to tell you, you're exactly where he wants, you're doing what he wants, he's with you, and keep going. I tell you, I felt dizzier than just about any time I can remember. We went to my office, we sat down, and I explained what had happened. The man turned white as a ghost. But that's the point. When you share the truth in humility, when you're faithful to God's message and what he would have to say, when you speak that in confidence, and when you speak his word and his promise and his grace and his mercy and his love and his son to people, that has the power to change the course of life. And Daniel will see it has changed the course of life. And it will change the course of life for all of Babylon, because after this, Daniel will give the interpretation. And at the very end of the interpretation, in verse 46, this is the king's response. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. This confident speaking of the truth has changed lives. And when you do the very same thing, you have the ability to change lives. And so I dare you to be different. I dare you to speak God's truth confidently. I dare you to speak it prophetically. I dare you to speak it in humility. And I dare you to speak it expectantly, knowing that God's word has the power to change lives. And it will.
You've been listening to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Munger, the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. If you'd like to hear this message again, stop by our website at lightthewayradio.org. Not only will you find an archive of Pastor Colin's teachings there to listen to, but there you can find out more about our ministry. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," and we want everything we do and say to revolve around that. If you'd like to get behind what we're doing, please visit lightthewayradio.org and learn how you can become a light partner. When you do so today, we'll say thanks by sending you a free copy of Pastor Colin's book, Meet Jesus. In this book, you'll discover 7 miracles of Jesus and the 7 I Am statements he gave in the Gospel of John. All of it was done so we would have a better understanding of him as God. Again, to become a light partner or just receive more information, log on to lightthewayradio.org. Thank you for listening today, and come back next week as Dr. Colin Munger once again delivers another helpful message from God's Word to help us light the way. In the meantime, remember to be a light to someone this week.